Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brad Marchand was back at the Garden. The Bruins were back at the Garden. At least one of them played well, and it certainly wasn't the Bruins. Brad Marchand, a pair of assists in a 4-3 Panthers victory, as predicted by Dan Ball. Although it may have been more competitive than our buddy Dan Ball had predicted, it still ended the same way, with an L. And the Bruins need to thank the Lord that teams like San Jose and Calgary exist so that someone can have a longer losing streak than their five right now, because they're a bad hockey team.
That was the overlooked element of last night's game. Aside from wherever between like the locker room and the ice, Marco Sturm said to Swayman, hey, try not to cough up the momentum twice tonight, kid.
He blows.
Can we just have the forum? I am ready for the referendum. Jeremy Swayman kind of stinks.
Yeah, the new human is still the same goalie.
He has no clutch. You give up a goal, like, you come through this emotional. If you're going to give up a goal early, better give it up to Marchand, otherwise GTFO. This emotional pregame ceremony, the Garden, dare I say, Andy, save for tonight. Probably should have asked this yesterday on the show, but I'll ask it now. Do we think that that's probably the most emotional the Garden is going to be for the next several months? I believe. Until Tatum's return, that's the noisiest the Garden will be.
Until Tatum returns, I think you will get a good buzz. But even the Tatum return could be weird.
That pop's going to be huge.
I'm not sure.
Is it? What do you mean?
If you're like 20 and 47 at the time, I'm not
sure.
You
think he's coming back in March?
I don't know what
Andy.
But if they suck as a team when he returns, it's going to be a little weird. But yes, it was very emotional.
What happened? I thought we were going to start off and we were going to be excited about the fact that Marchand was back and that, you know, it's a disappointment the team fell on their face, but it's not just everybody's fault. Swayman. And then the Celtics.
Well, it's everybody's fault. Okay. It's not just Swayman. I like to beat up on Swayman as much as anybody.
The defense faltered when they needed him most.
They had a loose puck in front of him where two guys were like, you going to get that? No, you going to get that? And the Panther was like, I'll get that. It was awful. I've watched some bad girls high school volleyball, and early on girls have a tendency to be timid, and the ball just drops between two girls that are like, oh, you're not gonna hit that.
But that's like outfield in Little League where no one knows how to say
Little League
mine, I got it. Yeah,
this
Little
is
League.
The National Hockey League. These are supposedly the best hockey players on the planet,
the best of the best.
And they're supposedly well coached. I'm starting to not be sure whether I feel bad for my guy Marco Sturm, whether he's in over his head a little bit early in this first
quick question
season.
I just want to know how many my guys do you have on the Bruins?
Zadorov, Sturm, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, okay.
I got a short list on the Bruins.
I think the show just wants to keep track.
Kastelic, he did fight a leprechaun. So that might get him the third spot on the list. I try to have three with every team. I feel like that's a good solid list on every team.
You liked Khuznudinov after they brought him in last year, but that might have been more a pronunciation thing. You just liked that you got his name
you
right.
You can't have more than three. I think, can we set a show rule? You're not allowed to have more than three my guys on a team.
I'm sure Andy will follow
And if
that.
You want to add one, you got to bump somebody off the list. That's the way it goes. Like Dion sounds in the Hall of Fame, Super Hall of Fame.
Sounds like a weekly segment. Who's on the my guy list? Anyway, Jeremy Swayman. You can't give up a goal 1 minute in after that emotional return of Brad Marchand and the freaking Garden is on fire. And then, I don't know, yes, your defense sucked out loud at the end as well, but like, try to find a way to get in front. I don't know, do something. Just, you know, you're one of the highest paid goalies in hockey. Get in front of the puck. Be on alert. You got 43 seconds to get to overtime, and then all bets are off.
And where are we on his playing personality, his style? Because he feels like, to me, he's going down a road of he's like the thinking man's goalie and technique and all these things. And we were just talking about this before the show. Sometimes don't you like a good old goalie? Like, I don't know, the example around here would be Tim Thomas that just like
throws himself
in front of the puck, flails to do whatever it takes, the cliche, stand on his head. Don't you feel like Swayman? You know my little theory? I'd rather hit it into the woods and crush it than like hit it straight down the middle.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
I think Swayman is absolutely a straight-down-the-middle guy. Like, I want my technique to look good and whatever. I don't care whether I stop the puck as long as I look like I'm a sound goalie.
Our pal Tom Curran, who appears with us every Thursday at 3:30, once said there's nothing wrong with pulling out the three-wood and just hitting it 200-something down the fairway. Don't have to win the big drive contest because that gets you ultimately across the goal line, into the end zone, the W column. Come on.
Yeah, no, I'd rather grip it and rip it, and I wish sometimes your goalie of the Boston Bruins would take that mentality to stopping the puck. Just do whatever it takes to stop the puck, because he did not do that last night. And it sucks when you suck, and the highlight of the night is the video they play on the big board and people crying and cheering for a guy who doesn't play for you anymore. And you're right, it does suck when you give up a goal 1 minute into the first period, and I liked the series. 2 minutes into the second period, he also gave up a goal. But
yeah,
the one thing this Bruins team has, they suck.
Resilience.
Dan Ball was right. Yes, they fight. They're going to fight to the finish. It's going to be a loss, but like they're going to get punched. You know that Rocky thing? Get back up, get punched again. They don't have much punch to them. It's not how hard they can hit back, but they'll get up.
Dare I say, it ain't about how hard you can hit, but about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
They can get hit. They take hits and they make it close, and then they lose.
Scoring after Swayman gives up a goal.
And it's frustrating right now early in the season because that 3-0 start, no one saw coming.
Nope.
People like me were like, wait, are they better than Dan Ball says? Was Dan Ball being a wet blanket throughout the offseason? And now I have to say Dan Ball was not a wet blanket. Dan Ball, how's Penn State hockey doing? Do we need to start? Do I need to order some streaming service where I can watch Penn State hockey games?
Yeah, Big Ten Plus is surprisingly expensive.
Is it really? Is it
fact.
Like?
Yeah,
is it Nesson Gold expensive?
It's somewhere from ESPN Plus to Nesson 360.
By the way, have you
the
copyrighted your name so that that way every time Andy Hart uses your full name on the show, you get like a dollar?
I feel like I need to at this point because I'd be rich beyond my wildest beliefs.
I'm with the Twitch chat. Rather be golfing 95. Of course, that's twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Tim Thomas ruined Bruins fans' expectations for goalies, I swear. Kind of did because he was so spectacular in 2011.
What?
He's the standard by which we will always compare them.
Okay. So, like, we're not ruined by Tom Brady?
Yes, we are.
Are we not excited about the current quarterback and saying he's doing things we've never seen? Meet the challenge. Meet the expectations.
Do it for longer than seven games.
Who's supposed to be better right now, Swayman or Drake May?
Drake May.
No.
Yes.
Swayman. He just signed a long-term massive money contract as a legit. You don't have to debate. He signed a contract that was supposed to make him a top five goalie.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Drake May is living up to the standard in New England of Tom Brady. In fact, you know what he did this week? He said, hey, Stacey James, can you give me a Sharpie? I want to cross Brady off one of these lines here and put my name there.
Long way to go.
I'm not going to blame Tim Thomas for ruining goalies.
Long
you know who's
goat.
Ruining my desire to watch goalies?
Who's
Swayman.
That? Okay.
I don't want to watch him anymore. He's not very good. But the worst part is we're just relegated to not even talking about the game last night because the Bruins right now stink and we're left to talk about Brad Marchand crying. Why'd it go south? Does he have regrets? Does he want to come back and work for the team? All of these weird things.
Is he moving back to New England?
Is this the most emotional return? Or are we going to rank it with Ray Bourque and Roger Clemens and Tom Brady's of the world? That's what really sucks.
I think this was maybe the most emotional.
Did you cry?
No, I did not.
Did Rich Keefe cry? Because he's kind of our barometer at the station. He's a known crier.
No, I'm going to guess that he didn't cry about Brad Marchand.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Isn't it funny, though? They're both criers.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're so similar, that's why they butted heads and had a feud.
Because
opposites bang, similars bang heads.
Yeah.
I said the same thing about you and Karabas. I just happen to be drastically wrong.
But where does this rank? Like, we were spitballing this a little bit yesterday, and we never talked about it on the air. You got Roger Clemens, obviously. Mm-hmm. You got Tom Brady, obviously. And You got so, Patriots actually have a few. Adam Vinatieri was an interesting one where it was the pregame cheers, the in-game boos kind of thing.
Ray Bourque, 2001. Thank God David Ortiz never came back in anyone else's uniform. Nomar did at one point.
But his reputation had been sullied by that.
It hadn't, but it's not that his reputation had been sullied. He just wasn't as relevant as he used to be.
Right, but people didn't like him as much, even though he wasn't as good.
I feel like actually winning, because I think he didn't come back until he had an Oakland A's uniform on in 2008. By that point, the Red Sox had won two World Series. So everyone was like, you know what? I can go back to appreciating Nomar as opposed to holding him accountable for any of our failures.
I mean, the measuring stick for me visually will always be Clemens because of the walk off the mound, stare up at Duquette. People kind of didn't already like Duquette. There were already questions like, I don't know whose side I'm on this little personal feud here. Now, we didn't get that last night. There was no, like, Brad Marchand stares at the box with Cam Neely and company up there. And
no, because I don't think he holds the same grudge. Like, Roger Clemens was told that he was in the twilight of his career. Nobody in Bruins management or ownership had the gall or stones to say, Brad Marchand's in the twilight of his career. Like, Duquette literally said. Yeah, but that's an insult. You don't think that's an insult to a competitor?
Yeah, no, I don't think there was the personal, but Brad Marchand, and we have some audio. Let's, Stiz, you have that audio from Brad Marchand ready in between periods after the first intermission. Steve Levy asked him, and I don't know, was it Steve Levy? I don't know, it was the ESPN broadcast, asked him about having some regret with the way things went down. And there's a little bit of a Craig Breslow-ness to this answer. There's a lot of words kind of going in different directions. But let me know what you think about the emotion of the negotiations and the departure.
Do I wish that, you know, at times, I guess I would say that I think if we went back, I think both sides would have done things differently. I think is how I would say. I think I let my emotions handle some aspects of the negotiations that maybe I would have done differently if I go back, but I wouldn't go back.
So
I wouldn't go back.
He would do things differently, but he wouldn't go back.
No, so what he's saying is, I'm glad I made the decision I made, because obviously he had a really good time and two cups. But
and he got a 6-year extension?
Yeah, how many years of that does he play?
Three.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He got,
because Brady played three when he left.
Even he said he didn't expect at the time to re-sign with the Panthers, and then all of a sudden they gave him this deal and figured out how to maximize
Five and a quarter in Florida is pretty much $7 million in Boston.
Plus, it's guaranteed for 6 years. It's not like 3 years.
Well, if you retire, you don't get it. But
like, he's gonna get his money. Like, he'll hang on. I would hang on.
Plus, if you're in Florida down there, do you have any idea how many, like, Publix Market ads he's probably doing? I'm sure he's a stud.
Oh, he probably is. He's got some charisma to him, but the emotion of it is what I find curious. So, like, he's so emotional, he has regrets, but wouldn't do anything any differently. It's like he would take a serpentine route. He's still going to get to the same point where he plays for the Florida Panthers and wins the Stanley Cup, but maybe he handles the in-between a little bit differently. I don't know. I still think, and is there blame to be thrown around? Like, do you blame the Bruins that Brad Marchand is showing up in a Panthers uniform to play the Bruins at the Garden with a cup in hand? Is that on the Bruins? Do you have blame in your heart for how that ended?
I do not.
Let me guess. You're just going to say, well, people just go their separate ways.
What's so wrong with that?
Because I blame somebody all the time.
Of course you do.
There's always a 51-49 blame. It's like when, car insurance, the accidents. Like, somebody's got to be 51% responsible, so they make somebody and your insurance is going through the roof.
There are such things as, like, no-fault divorces, no-fault accidents. Like, these things actually exist in our modern society.
There's fault here.
Ay, ay, ay.
And I fault, actually, Brad Marchand.
You do.
Yeah, I think if he wanted to play for the Bruins forever, he could have played for the Bruins forever. You wanted your
KD. But why do you have to accept that word? Tom Brady should not have accepted a $13 or $15 million contract. Get out of here with that.
Well, Tom Brady, I didn't think, wanted to play for the Patriots forever. He reached the point where he flat out didn't. I think even to the very end.
He would have if he was paid what he deserved, what he had earned, then he would absolutely have played his career.
I'm not so sure about that. I think he had such animosity for Bill Belichick at the end, and it was so not fun to go to work. Remember all the Giselles? Like, they just need to appreciate him and all that. I think it had already...
Johnny effing Foxborough.
The damage had been done, my friend, to steal from another Patriots controversy.
Spygate 2, the revenge.
I think it was broken, where I think Marchand wanted to be here, but he wanted his money. And in the end, those two just didn't.
And wow, an organization like the Bruins that was notoriously stingy and didn't reward the veteran?
That said, I think it's good for the Boston Bruins that this happened. They started the rebuild.
Yeah.
They tore it down. We're going to have a bad year. Let's all just accept. Can we say it together? We're going to have a bad year. The Bruins are not going to be
good. How
much
better would they be? Legitimately, how much better would they be if he was on the team?
Incrementally.
Yeah.
You might sneak in as the 8th seed.
But not Stanley Cup-ish. Yeah.
No.
No.
So you're just sort of stretching out the mediocre period mm-hmm. before you start to figure it out, turn it around.
Yeah.
And we don't even know what was going on behind the scenes because I stick with my guy, Keefe. My guy, Keefe, I think, has the best sources in the hockey business when it comes to the Bruins. And that whole idea
right
that it was
Swayman
a mess.
Deal.
It was a mess behind the scenes because they fired their coach and they traded their captain.
So we tried to spin as a positive, you know, remember back a couple, a little while ago, remember they were 3-0 and everyone was like, wow, this Bruins team is pluckier than we thought.
Guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty as charged.
Remember we discussed it as
suckier than we thought.
David Pastrnak, he's really growing now. And the best way for him to grow is to not have Brad Marchand by his side, but to become his own hockey player. That can still be true. But Marchand being on the team would not make the Bruins that much better by any stretch.
No. And then where are you going as you age and you're expensive and you don't have room and you can't make moves? And again, I'm not saying they're tanking because I don't think they'll tank. I don't think Cam Neely... We used to have this conversation with Belichick. He'll never oversee a tank. It's not in his DNA, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I know, because he had the perfect chance in 2020 to sell the farm, tank, and restock for 2021 Buffalo Bills style. Did he? No, he did not.
Yes, Dan Ball.
They spent too much money this offseason for this to be resembling a tanking. Unfortunately, they just built a really terrible roster.
I like Morgan Geeky. That kid deserves
a
break.
Yeah, good player. I'm just talking this offseason specifically. Like, he was a good acquisition. They got a couple good players sprinkled around
and
a whole
guys,
bunch of crap.
Yeah, you can like. There's guys on any team you can, especially if you're a fan, right? Because we're all fans. You turn on the game and you watch it, you're kind of ranking them and you're like, which guy do I like? Somebody's on my screen with the puck or playing D or whatever. Which guy do I like? Which guy do I not like? They're going to have guys you like. They're also going to have really highly paid guys that you probably don't like and would prefer weren't on the team making as much money as that. Swayman, I'm talking to you. I was going to say, why don't you just come out and say his name? 617-779-7937. What did you think of Brad Marchand's return to the Garden? The end result was not great, but it was an emotional night, and I admit I was booing and also thought it was pretty cool when they played the video and he teared up. It was an emotional moment for him and for the crowd at the Garden. Where does it rank in your all-time Boston sports returns? Roger Clemens, Tom Brady, Brad Marchand, and others. What did you think about the emotion of the night compared to those guys coming back? At 2:30, up next, we're going to talk to Chris Mannix about the Boston Celtics. It's opening night at the Garden. Is Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and the rest ready? Are they a playoff team? Where will they finish? How is this going to look? The new run-and-gun Celtics, all that and more. Up next with Chris Mannix. But first, we have Dan Ball with What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. The Patriots return to the practice field this afternoon. New England returns home to host the Cleveland Browns this Sunday at 1 o'clock. The Patriots are riding a 5-game win streak against the Browns and are 5-0 all-time versus Cleveland at Gillette Stadium. Pats linebacker Kalon Chaisson has been named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week for his Week 7 performance, recording 2 sacks with a fumble recovered for a touchdown. This is his first career Player of the Week award and the team's first on defense since 2022. From around the NFL, the Vikings are sticking with quarterback Carson Wentz for at least one more week, with coach Kevin O'Connell citing a short week of preparation before Minnesota plays on Thursday night in Los Angeles against the Chargers. Meanwhile, Jaden Daniels will miss his team's game on Monday night in Kansas City. Marcus Mariota will start for the Commanders, and Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson returned to practice for the first time following his September 28th hamstring injury. The Bruins lost to Brad Marchand and the Florida Panthers last night at TD Garden. The final score was 4-3. Marchand was named the first star of the game after recording 2 assists. Boston has now lost 5 games in a row. Per WEEI Scott McLaughlin, the Bruins have placed defenseman Jordan Harris on injured reserve and recalled Mike Callahan. Harris was walking with a limp during the postgame last night. And the Celtics tip off their season tonight when they host the Philadelphia 76ers. Tip-off is at 7:30. Jaylen Brown is listed as questionable for tonight's game, while Jason Tatum has, of course, been ruled out. Celtics CEO and alternate governor Wick Grosbeck joined the Greg Hill Show this morning and had this to say about Tatum's potential return.
Everybody knows exactly what's going to happen. We're not going to ever ask him to come back. We're assuming he's not coming back. and we're not even going to have any discussions about it.
Meanwhile, Paul George, Jared McCain, and Trendon Watford have all been ruled out by the 76ers for tonight. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens on a Wednesday afternoon. Hoping that our buddy Ted Johnson will be back tomorrow. He has been very much under the weather. Caught a little bug or something, or a big bug.
You know what they say that going around these days?
Are they?
Yeah.
Is that really happening?
What, the bugs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I do.
You ready for it?
Not new.
It's coming for you.
Nope. I would prefer that not happen. Celtics season is coming for us at the Garden tonight. Joel Embiid and the Sixes.
Uh-huh.
Did you see the idea? You got kids, so you know this. Somebody was putting the idea out there that the 76ers should change their name for one game this year to the 6-7ers just to sell all the garb
The 6-7ers would absolutely sell. You know what the funny thing is? The funny thing about that is, what team has been more 6-7 than the 76ers the past 5 years?
That's probably accurate. Let's go to the guest line now, where Sports Illustrated senior analyst and new member of the NBA on NBC TV, Chris Mannix, joins us. How you doing, Chris?
What's going on, guys?
Let's start with that. NBC has basketball again. It seems like, speaking of boomers, everybody's excited. It's like this retro thing. How excited are you to be part of that?
It's great. I mean, I was at the opener in Oklahoma City last night, and I don't think that NBC could have asked for a better return to NBA broadcasting with the, you know, not just the fact that the game went to double overtime, but that was a game between two elite Western Conference teams that both looked like they wanted this game as much as they wanted a game seven in the playoffs. So I'm excited to see all the things NBC is going to do. And I mean, like everyone else, like I think the return of Round Ball Rock and all the nostalgic things that NBC is doing on their broadcast is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, it's also not bad when you get a national voice like Mike Tirico calling the game. And oh, by the way, sure, you work with Michael Jordan, who's there telling a story about, you know, not having shot a free throw in 30 years and not letting a bunch of kids down by nailing that. Like, just the return even of that competitive drive alone was spectacular. But switching over to competitive drive for your Boston Celtics this year, Chris, what have you heard league-wide about what people expect from a team that obviously lost a lot of its size, made a bunch of offseason moves in transition, and their superstar is not back for at least several months?
Well, it's interesting. Like, my expectations for the Celtics have been pretty low. I mean, I've looked at the talent drain like everybody else, and even though the wing positions are pretty well stocked, it's just hard to win when you're playing such unproven guys in your front court, like the Celtics are planning on playing. But when I talk to executives and coaches league-wide, there's a lot more optimism about Boston's chances to be in that playoff mix this year. And their reasons are usually twofold. It's one, and it's a little bit abstract, but I keep hearing from coaches, like, it's hard to knock the winning out of a winner. And this team for the last 7 years has been enormously successful. Guys like Jaylen Brown and Derek White and Peyton Pritchard, all they've known is winning. So even in a situation where they're, you know, a little more undermanned than they have been in the past, they're still going into these games expecting to win and knowing how to win. And the other variable is that the Eastern Conference is just ungodly bad. I mean, I was watching the game between Oklahoma City and Houston last night. Like, the West is going to have games like that all season long. They're just going to be rock fights between two highly competitive teams in that conference. The East, I mean, you could probably drop like the ninth or tenth best team in the West into the East, and that team would have a legitimate chance of coming out. So, you know, Boston's just going to have a much easier pathway to one of those mid-level playoff seeds than they would, you know, playing out in the West. So that's a long way of saying, like, the people that know better than I do, the head coach, and I had this conversation with the head coach just last night, they believe that the Celtics are going to be really competitive.
Along those lines, what do you believe, Chris, and maybe what have you heard about what people are expecting from Jaylen Brown as he gets his opportunity to be the centerpiece, the guy that's the lead dog here?
Yeah, I think an all-NBA season is in play for Jaylen Brown. I mean, he's going to get all the opportunities that, you know, players in this position are afforded. His shot attempts are going to go up. His statistics across the board are going to go up. He's going to get a real chance to spread his wings, so to speak, and become, you know, kind of a star that he believes and many people believe he's going to be. If there's one, you know, one thing I would watch out for with Jaylen is that, you know, in addition to, you know, being the star of this team now with Tatum out, he's going to get all those defenses that were, you know, geared towards Tatum. And that's going to be a challenge for him to adapt to. It's been enormously successful for Jaylen as that kind of 1A guy in Boston. Now that he's being expected to carry a load, defenses are smart. They're going to load up on him. They're going to send multiple defenders at him. He's going to get the best wing defender every single night. So I don't expect it to be a easy season for Jaylen, but I do expect his numbers to go through the roof.
Chris, have you heard anything about Jason Tatum's timeline? Obviously, that's going to become one of the most discussed, speculated upon stories in Boston sports over the next couple of months, along with, can Drake May keep this up? Will the Patriots make the Super Bowl? So, like, we've heard everything from it could be December, could be January. Should we limit those anticipations? Anything you've heard?
Yeah, I would reduce the expectations for December for sure, and probably January. I mean, this is just not an injury that, you know, even when you're medically cleared, there's going to be a ramp up, a significant ramp up before you can get out onto the court. All I know is that when I talk to people around the league that know Tatum and people in Tatum's camp, he's going to try to play. Like, he's going to try to get back. And, you know, look, some of it, as he's talked about, is about kind of mentally putting himself into a place where he can get up every day, go to rehab 6 days a week and work towards something. But there's also a part of him that is looking around at the conference and saying, look, if we're in the mix, when I get back, maybe after the All-Star break, there's no reason we still can't win the Eastern Conference, even with the depletion of talent that they've had with this team. So I don't think December is realistic. I don't think January is realistic, but once that All-Star break comes and goes, I think it's going to be a discussion, and we're going to have to see where the Celtics are as a team before they decide whether or not to let him come back.
Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated, NBC TV, here on WEEI Afternoons. You mentioned the sort of big three, the holdover three, Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Peyton Pritchard. If we look further down the roster, who are we going to fall in love with? If this team is successful, who are we going to be like, wow, he's a better player than I thought he was?
I mean, it has to be Anthony Simons. You know, Simons has been a prolific scorer in his time in the NBA. He has been equally as prolifically bad defensively. He's among the worst defensive players in the league. It's just a fact. Look, he's going to get opportunities here, and he's also going to be put in a situation, you know, playing in a backcourt with White and Pritchard and Jaylen, that being a mediocre defender is just not going to be acceptable. No matter how many points you're able to put up, they have expectations within the Celtics that you are going to at least be serviceable on that end of the floor. So if this team rises, you know, above the the expectation that they're going to be middle of the pack or below this year in the conference, it's, you're going to see a guy like Anthony Simons be a part of it. And look, I never discount what a guy can do in a contract year. Contract years are enormously successful for players in the NBA. They always tend to put something together that looks pretty damn impressive. And, you know, Simons is playing for that next big deal, and I would assume you're going to get the very best out of him.
Okay, so let's say, unfortunately, things don't go the way that we want to see them go, and the Celtics are on. They're below 500 team. If there was anyone that could be a potential surprise trade candidate for the Celtics, if they decide to go a bit more rebuild than compete for the postseason, who do you think that could be?
You know, I just don't see the Celtics going rebuild regardless of where they are in the standings this year, because everything this team is doing is being geared towards the 26-27 season. They've got their core intact. And if you look, if they sink in the standings, they still have control over their 2026 first round draft pick. And that can either be an asset they could use to get a cheap rotation player potentially, or, you know, put it into a trade to get something else back, more experience back that can help them. I actually think if anything, you know, I think there's a decent chance the Celtics are proactive in terms of getting a better player, even if that better player doesn't help them, you know, win the conference in the short term. I'll give you an example. Like the guy that I'm probably eyeing the closest over the next couple of months is Lauri Markkanen in Utah. Mm. Utah has no use for Lauri Markkanen. He's 28 years old, which basically makes him a fossil in that Jazz rotation. And, you know, that's going to be a guy that I believe is going to be on the market as we head into that February trade deadline. Look, the Celtics, they just lost Kristaps Porzingis. Lauri Markkanen is a younger, sort of different version of Kristaps Porzingis, a 6'10", 6'11 guy who can play both front court positions. That would be a guy that I would aggressively pursue if I was Boston, looking at the 26-27 season. Like he makes a lot of money, $46 million on his contract this year. So the Celtics would have to cobble together some salaries to ultimately make it work. And believe me, the Jazz are looking for real return on Lauri Markkanen. But if they can't get it, you know, in the days leading up to the trade deadline, and if they just want to get off that salary that Markkanen has, the full max contract he's in the first year of, could, you know, old friend Austin Ainge, you know, turn to his old boss, Brad Stevens, and say, all right, well, we'll take Simon's contract, some expirings, and whatever draft capital you can dump into a deal. So that to me is the most interesting guy that's potentially out there, and someone I think would be perfect for the Celtics as they look at the next 3 or 4 years.
Chris, there was one point where there was sort of a joke floating around that Joe Mazzulla is going to go hockey lines, and he's going to run so much that it's just going to be five guys in, five guys out. He kind of poo-pooed that, but then I was listening to Wick Grosbeck on our station this morning on the Greg Hill Show, and he said he has seen it in camp. They have run like he's never seen any team run, that they're going to use 11, 12 guys per night. What do you think this is going to look like, this new-look run-and-gun Celtics? What's it going to look like?
I mean, respectfully, whenever a team is bad, they say they're going to play fast. Like, death taxes and we're going to play fast. Like, I've heard that so many times over the years. Everybody wants to play fast. Everybody wants to have a high-paced team. That doesn't mean I doubt that they're going to try to do that. I just don't think that is a cure-all for some of the weaknesses that they have. Look, if you're saying you're going to play fast, you're effectively saying you're going to play small. And that's probably the Celtics' best bet, with like Sam Hauser playing power forward and whoever it is from the name is Kita, Chris Boucher, Xavier Tillman group playing at the five. That enables you to play faster and maybe get some of these teams that are bigger to have to play down to you. But I mean, just look at the history. Look at some of the teams that are out there that have been, you know, average or worse. You always hear before a season, we're going to play fast, we're going to play fast. And more often than not, it doesn't, you know, lead to a surprising amount of success.
And Chris, last one for me. Have you ever been forced to play basketball against a bunch of former professionals or coaches on the spur of the moment? Because one of our guys here was involved in the now infamous media versus coaches and former players game over at the Auerbach Center. You know, the nail biter, 57-4. Some people described it as, quote, I felt like I was playing basketball in a tornado, and quote, it went exactly like you thought a 57-4 game should go.
I mean, I had Jay King on my podcast, and he called it the most humiliating athletic moment of his life. And, you know, just watching the clips of it, I can see that. What I do find amusing, and I've brought this up to other coaches around the league, is that we're seeing it kind of either being duplicated. I think Denver did it, or teams talking about duplicating it, but they're doing it in kind of a fun, let's have a good time type of way. Joe Mazzulla wanted to hurt the media. Like, Joe Mazzulla wanted to humiliate them in that moment and show them just how, you know, tough the game really is. That's unique to Joe Mazzulla. So I feel for my media brethren, man, that had to go out there and, you know, get pressed by a bunch of elite ex-college players who are still very capable of playing at that level. That was all the clips that I've seen. That was a very tough watch.
All right, Chris, before we let you go, can I get a record prediction and playoff seeding if you think they're going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, it might require a trip through the play-in to get there. Right now, I think I've got them probably at the 7 at the moment based on what I've seen in the preseason in the Eastern Conference. I do think their margin for error is incredibly slim, though. Like, you know, Jaylen Brown sounds like this hamstring's not a big deal. But they are one, like, lengthy Jaylen Brown absence away from, you know, Wizards Hornets potential territory. Like, it's just, they don't have the roster depth that they had in the past to overcome, you know, potential injuries. But I'm buying more and more into this idea that it's hard to knock the winning out of winners. And I think they're going to be tough outs for a lot of teams. And given that they're going to play a lot of teams that aren't as competitive as them in the conference, don't have the fierceness that they have, I think they're going to surprise some people. And record-wise, I can see 500, maybe a little over 500, and that gets them into the bottom half of the playoff bracket.
All right, Chris, we appreciate you joining us on opening night here in Boston. Enjoy rubbing elbows with Air Jordan for the rest of the season on NBC.
Yeah, that's basically like saying like that the security guard at the White House works with the president. That's not quite.
It's a great gig, man. Congrats.
In name only.
Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Chris. See ya.
You got it, guys.
That was Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated and NBC. Apparently he's not, you know, having wings with Michael behind the green room curtain or whatever.
What do you think of, let me just ask you straight up right now. When you see Michael Jordan, how do you think the whole presentation?
What do you mean? I think he's a pretty cool dude.
I don't love the half stash and the big earring.
I think he's Michael Jordan. He can make anything cool.
That's been his look forever, though.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
The
it just looks,
hoop
I don't
earring.
Know. Yeah, I know. Just
like sometimes he has the scally cap on backwards or whatever. Like,
yeah, I don't mind that.
I'm pretty sure Michael Jordan can do whatever he wants, and it's quite cool.
I'm pretty sure he can, too. Like,
I mean,
lose
have you ever
$5 million?
Yeah. The Air Jordan? Yeah. Like, yeah, that's everywhere. That's him. Like,
that's him?
The definition of
I didn't know that.
Icon. He is an icon on the court, in fashion, in everything. 617-779-7937. When we come back, we're going to talk about all NBA player Jaylen Brown. You didn't hear it from me. You heard it from an expert. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think an all NBA season is in play for Jaylen Brown. I mean, he's going to get all the opportunities that players in this position are afforded. His shot attempts are going to go up. His statistics across the board are going to go up. He's going to get a real chance to spread his wings so to speak, and become, you know, kind of a star that he believes and many people believe he's going to be. I don't expect it to be a easy season for Jalen, but I do expect his numbers to go through the roof.
I probably should have followed up with, when you say all NBA, do you mean like third team, second team, first team? Because it matters.
Chris Mannix proving that he has a problem that he needs to address before he goes on the air again, saying that Jaylen Brown is going to be an all NBA player. Get out of here.
You don't think, I mean, first of all, he already has been. I think there's a chance he's first or second team. I really do. I think he's going to put up numbers that are going to be phenomenal. And in that league, numbers get you that.
Like, zero
a
chance.
Number, but you want to bet?
He's going to be very good.
Get your document open.
Put it on. Can you? How about please? How about some bedside?
12-pack?
Bedside.
Want a 30-pack?
Yeah, I'll do a 12-pack.
Not 30?
Do a 12-pack. 12-pack is 16 ounces. They don't do 30-packs of the 12, 16-ounce beers.
I don't even think they do that. I think it's 9 and 15. So we're doing the screw top Miller Lights, baby.
Sure.
Let's go.
Or a Narragansett.
Top two all NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brown.
I can already taste it.
I don't know if you noticed, for those of us that are all JB guys and full supporters of JB, that answer petered out a little bit. It was like, all NBA, no question, the opportunity. And then he was like, now it won't be easy. And he's getting the chance that he believes, he thinks he's the, like, it kind of petered out in its strength a little bit there. If I was going to movie poster that, I would kind of front load the all
right.
NBA part.
This movie, like, that's when the full quote from the critic is, like it says on the poster, this movie is amazing. But the actual quote is, this movie is amazing in how incompetent the script
Correct.
Is.
Correct. And that wasn't quite that dramatic the way it tailed off a little bit for Chris Mannix there. But after talking to him, I'm even more interested in the Celtics. And I was already very interested in the
how
Celtics.
How can people not be? I cannot. If anyone is already out on this team, or if anybody is emotionally preparing themselves for taking the season off, you know, quiet quitting the Celtics for a season, blank off.
Well, then you're not a Celtics fan. You're like a championship chaser.
You're a title chaser.
You're like Boogie Cousins when he used to not come down
Ring
for defense.
Chaser.
And then he would just wait and throw me the ball. I'll dunk it. I'm going to score a lot of points. That's what you are. You're not really a Celtics fan or a sports fan. Because this season could be as interesting as any other. That'd be similar to 2008. Brady goes down and you're
one
like,
of my favorite, one of my favorite seasons
anymore.
Ever.
No Brady, no chance. And it was one of the more interesting seasons you could possibly have.
I can see why people may not think it's going to be that compelling a season. But to me, the opportunity in front of this team, the unknowns about this squad, even before you get into when will Tatum come back, how will he look when he gets back, and how long until he can ramp up to whatever the new Jason Tatum 2.0 is. You know, shame on everybody else if they're disinterested in the season and they'll be tepid, half interested. Come on now.
Also, I don't think Chris Mannix was a big fan of the coaches versus media game. Holy crap.
He could go all in. You know what he stopped? The one word he didn't use? Bullying.
Yeah. Basically, he's like, and he said something to the effect, it's like typical Joe Mazzulla or classic
Joe
Mazzulla.
Yeah, and he wanted to beat them down and embarrass and shame them. Our own Justin Turpin, who you've heard from on the air here talking about it, has had a smile on his face. I don't imagine somebody like me, or especially yourself, who's hyper-competitive, would probably take well to being, like, showed up and embarrassed like that.
There might have been a fight.
Like, might?
There might have. Yeah, you're right. Might is probably not.
You absolutely would have vinitaried somebody right in the potato sack.
Absolutely. Somebody went to dunk on me or blow by me. You're better than me, but I can still grab you. I still, you know, can tackle you. I can still trip you. I can still do something that might lead to a melee. Yes, I would not have taken it well. Even though it was only 12 minutes, I'm sure I would have mustered up the anger in just those mere 12 minutes.
But again, about this Celtics season, from lowered expectations should come the potential for greater unexpected returns.
Hart, you gonna owe Fitzy some gansets? No, I'm not.
Yes, you is.
First or second team All NBA, Jalen Brown. We'll get to a full Celtics season preview a bit later.
You guys want some of that?
Up next, it is 3 o'clock. We have two hosts and Dan Ball, our buddy. It's time for 3-point stances, and I'm gonna tell you how I'm tying together all four Boston sports teams' seasons this year. And it's a good thing for most of us that are actually true sports fans. That's my 3-point stance. It'll be up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.